They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Aho, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Aho went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing for the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the Ark, and he died there beside the Ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst against Uzzah. So that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come to my care?" So David was unwilling to take the Ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him, because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and the fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place, and saw the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being for the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and offering well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. He distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to eat a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came up to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servant maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will base my own eyes, but by the maids by whom him spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. So this morning we'll talk about King David and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in our culture, a lot of folks hear the Ark of the Covenant. They need to think about a movie that came out back when I was born, 1981, that summer. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones, look at that Ark of the Covenant. Now, and the Ark of the Covenant, you may recall, was something that was built back in the time of Moses. It was a large chest, had 2 cherubim on it, covered with gold. It would be seen in the tabernacle, and then once a year, the high priest sprinkled blood on it. And then inside that chest, you had several artifacts. You had the 10 Commandments, for example. You had the rod of Aaron that budded. You had a jar of manna. So if you were looking at the Ark of the Covenant, you would see the historical evidence of God's faithfulness to his people Israel. And so the Ark of the Covenant, and you may recall that scene in Indiana Jones where he's telling the men that this ark was used as a weapon in war. For example, when Joshua led the people across the Jordan River, They brought the ark came down first, and Jordan River rowed back, and the ark went through, and the people fall behind it. Now, they heard that song, Row, Jordan, Row. That's where that comes from. And then, when we were kids, there were certain stories like better than others. And when Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, right, he had the Ark of the Covenant going around the city walls of Jericho. And on the seventh time they blew the trumpets, the walls came tumbling down. And then, unfortunately, the Ark of the Covenant, it became like this good luck charm. The people forgot about it was there to represent God's presence. Instead, it was that good luck charm. It was the attitude of, no matter how badly we sin and rebel against the Lord, along with the good luck charm, we'll always win the battle. And so you may recall, there was a situation to where they went the battle against their enemies. They had the Ark of the Covenant. And then to their surprise, interception. They lost the battle, and the enemies had the Ark of the Covenant. And then what happened then was, the enemies built inside their pagan temple. When they came in the next morning, their idol had been knocked down, and a plague broke out. And so they ended up taking the Ark of the Covenant and built it in a cart pulled by two oxen and leave. The Ark of the Covenant was a curse to them, not a blessing. The people of Israel treated it like it was the good luck charm, which it wasn't. The enemies, the pagans, treated it like it was some souvenir from war, which it wasn't. It was supposed to be a sacred object that was God's presence among his people. And so we saw last week where David, at this point, has conquered Jerusalem, and he has a palace built. And then he's like, well, you know, where's the Ark of the Covenant at? You know, we need to be checking into that. And it's at the house of a man by Abinadab. And David says, well, I want the Ark of the Covenant to be in the capital, okay? And so they go out and have these two gentlemen, Uzzah and Ahab, they were driving the new cart, had the Ark of the Covenant there, and said, David and all the house of Israel were dancing for the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. In other words, if you saw it, you would think this is the Jewish parade coming through town. It was a fun moment of time. Everybody was rejoicing and being glad. And you think, if you're watching this, like, well, this is going to be a great day. Everybody's having a good old time today. You know, we're just rejoicing, walking up to Jerusalem, up to beautiful Zion, the Ark of the Covenant. And so here you have a brand new cart. The Ark of the Covenant is on the back of the cart. Okay. Two oxen are driving it. And they get to a point to where the oxen stumble. And it sounds like the ark begins to slide out. And so Uzzah does something I think is very natural. Something I've done if I was there. Is he just reach out, grab hold of the ark, right? And then it won't fall off. Be like, for example, if you have some luggage on top of your vehicle and you're driving and moving and it's moving, you reach out and hold on to it, right? But when Uzzah reached out and touched the ark, he touched something that was sacred, that was not supposed to be touched by human hands. And unfortunately for Uzzah, the anger of the Lord fell upon him and struck him down dead. And you see a very honest moment where it says that David was angry because the Lord had burst forth an outburst against Uzzah. Now, so David's upset because this is supposed to be a fun occasion, and yet now you have a dead man by the Ark of the Covenant. And then it says, David was afraid. So we got anger, now we have fear. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the Ark of the Lord come to my care? And so David said, well, we're not going any further. And so they end up building the Ark of the Covenant in the house of a man named Obed-Edom. And for the next 3 months, Obed-Edom was blessed. And the neighbors realized he was blessed. Well, the neighbor next door came in to borrow a cup of sugar. She realized, Obed-Edom's been blessed. Well, the neighbor came in from their side to borrow the hammer. He realized, Obed-Edom has been blessed. And then word got back to Jerusalem, to the palace. Hey, king, Obed-Edom is being blessed, left and right. And when David heard that, he knew in his heart, It was because of the Ark of the Covenant. See, the trick to being blessed is having God's presence. And when Obed-Edom opened his home and allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be there, he has God's presence. He was blessed. And when we look at this story in the Book of Chronicles, it's kind of sad because it's also how King Saul had neglected the Ark of the Covenant. And what's the difference between King Saul and King David? King Saul wasn't concerned about God's presence at the end of his reign. Sad when you have a man in charge of a nation who's not concerned with God's presence. It's sad to have a man in charge of a state who's not concerned with God's presence. It's sad we've got a man in charge of his own family who's not concerned with God's presence. The fact is, whether you're a leader of a nation, a state, a city, a family, a classroom, you should want God's presence to be with you. And so when David heard that, he said, we got to get the ark back to Jerusalem. And so they went back and did their homework and got back to the law of Moses. Oh, you're not supposed to put the ark in the back of a cart like you're hauling a bunch of pumpkins around. The ark was supposed to be designed to where two poles could slide on the side of it. And then the men could pick up the poles and doing so pick up the ark without touching the actual ark itself. The ark was to be carried with honor and reverence. So David went down to the house of Obed-Edom rejoicing. And it's about how those who bore the ark of the Lord gone 6 paces and he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. In other words, David's attitude was, I don't want to go too far without rejoicing. I don't go too far without giving God the praise. Now, this morning, when you wake up, you should give God praise. Thank you, Lord, I'm here this morning. You know, somebody had to call the hearse and come by and pick me up. And here I am. And then when you get up and put your feet on the floor, you should give God the praise. Lots of folks in the nursing home and hospitals can't do that. And when you walk and you turn on that light switch, y'all give God the praise. Lots of folks in the world don't have electricity. When you take that shower and got clean water, give God the praise for that blessing. When you sit down and eat your little cereal or breakfast that morning, you should give God praise because you have food on your table, your daily bread. When you walk out and shut that door and lock it, you should give God the praise. You have a place called home to go to. When you get in your car and start it, you should give the God the praise. Because if you had a car that didn't start, you know how it is, right? A dead battery. The fact you got somewhere to go in the morning to work is a reason to give God the praise. You got a job, a place to make income. The fact is, even before you're wide awake, I can come up with a list about 25 things you should give God the praise for and be grateful for. David said, I don't take anything for granted. Every 6 steps, he was giving the Lord the praise. And so here they come into Jerusalem, and they're coming with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. I'm kind of chuckling because, you know, yesterday outside, I read some scripture from St. Paul about the Lord coming with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of the Lord. And we go, same thing's going on here. They're shouting, the blowing of the trumpets, and God's presence is coming into Jerusalem. And it talks about how Michael, daughter of Saul, is looking out the window watching all this. And she saw King David leaping and dancing for the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And so they brought in the ark and placed it inside the tent. And so you have to remember back then, there's not a temple yet, and so it was what we call the tabernacle, a large tent and system that David had set up. And then David offered offerings, and everybody has a big meal. And what does David do? David blessed the people and sent them home. And then David blessed his heart. He's in a good mood. He is rejoicing and being glad. The Ark of the Covenant is in Jerusalem. It's safe and sound. The people had a good time, were fed, were blessed. It's kind of like a big old parade and Thanksgiving all put together. And then he goes home. And Michael comes out to meet him. You know, it's never good, right, when folks come out and have to meet you, right? And she says, how the king of Israel armed himself today and covered himself today before the eyes of the servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself. And talking about how he was referring to when David was dancing, apparently some of his royal outfits came off. He was dancing so hard, and, you know, and she's like, look at you. You made a fool out of yourself, dancing and running around in front of all those young girls. You're supposed to be the king. You're like some vulgar fellow. And David said, listen, dear, it was for the Lord who chose me in place of your father. The Lord picked me over your daddy. And I'll dance and do even more so, you know. And the people will hold me in honor, you know. And then the sad part is, and Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. All right. We got Jesus calling. Now, and you may remember Michael, I feel sympathy for her, because you think about it, her father's been killed, her brother's been killed. She was married to someone, and I think they loved each other, and then David asked for her back, and, you know, and I feel bad for her. She was in a bad position. But at the same time, though, she should not have talked to the king that way, her husband, on a day of such rejoicing and shouting. Okay. Now, what about us? Do we treat the things of God with reverence, or do we treat him with disrespect? No. Are we guilty about being a little lazy, how we do things in church, or how we handle our Bibles, and we treat like it's one more book in the house? And I'm not saying we should idolize them, but I'm saying, though, sometimes I think Christian folks are guilty about not showing due reverence to the house of the Lord and to the things of the Lord. And then I think about David rejoicing and giving God the praise. Every six steps, he broke into a dance and gave God the praise. And yet some folks, they do good just to give God a little prayer at the end of the day. Oh, Lord, I need your help. I made a big mess today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's better than nothing. You know, but I think that's why Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. It should be a day long of talking to the Lord and being in his spirit. And then this is how David just rejoiced and gave God the praise. And isn't it kind of sad how we come to church and we might half-heartedly sing a song and do this and do that. But then we go to a football game or a rock concert and, oh man, we give it all we've got. Well, we need to give all we got when it comes to the Lord. David was leaping and dancing before the Lord, because he was filled with Spirit. And he blessed the people. And then finally, let's not be like Michael. Again, I'm not upset with her. I feel bad for her. But I do think she allowed bitterness to take over her life. And she blamed David for a lot of things that really wasn't David's fault. It really was her dad's fault. And she took it out on David the king. And we need to be cautious in our own lives that if we're hurting, that we don't blame the wrong person for our hurt. And secondly, we are hurting, we don't come angry and bitter about it. It won't do us any good. We need to roll that over to the Lord. Because you come angry and bitter, what happens is you miss out on God's blessings. And it's sad that Michael, instead of coming out and joining the parade festivities, she watched from the window and she missed out on a great opportunity to really rejoice in the Lord. And so my challenge for all of you is to be like King David and rejoice in the Lord. I was so glad to me when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. At this time, I invite you to open your Blue Methodist hymnal to page 12 for our communion service. I'm going to step down. I'm going to bring you the elements. For those of you listening in by the parking lot, my friend Clint and his bright orange shirt is going to come by and bring you the elements.